The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 52. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your director, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred. And once again, welcome everyone to Radio City Playhouse. We are happy to have with us tonight Louis Van Ruten, who 6 weeks ago caused a sensation both in and out of radio circles by playing 16 parts in his own script on Radio City Playhouse. We are very happy to welcome him to a return engagement. Also with us is Bill Lipton, one of the busiest and most talented younger actors in the business, and by now a familiar personality to all regular Playhouse listeners. On the distaff side, a hearty welcome to Edith Gresham, who is with us for the first time. Here then is our show. Louis Van Ruten as Paul, Edith Gresham as Jane, his wife, and Bill Lipton in the title role of Joey in Joey Was Different, Attraction 52, on Radio City Playhouse.
It was an incident full of strangeness and fear and horror. It was full of something else, too. Something I can't put a word to. Something I can't describe. I should be able to describe it because, well, I'm a professor of philosophy. But I can't. It happened the night Jane and I were coming home from the university. I had lectured on, well, I forget what it was. What does a professor of philosophy ever lecture on? We were driving home, Jane and I, driving along the parkway, enjoying the autumn night.
I thought you did very well, dear. Very well. Everybody seemed most attentive.
Well, they didn't have much choice, darling. Sometimes I wish somebody would stand up and give me a good, hearty Bronx cheer.
Oh, Paul.
They just sit there, like dummies.
Paul, don't drive too fast.
But I want to get home. I'm tired, Jane. Jane, I'm only 50. Yet as far I'm as far away from those kids as, well, I just don't understand what makes them tick. Why, Jane? Why don't I understand?
Please, darling, not so fast.
Now, you're not paying any attention to what I've been saying.
Hmm? You see? You were going too fast. Oh, dear, I hope it's not us. Slow down, Paul.
I was only doing 60.
Oh, it is us. He's waving us over.
Why do they calibrate speedometers to 125 when you go to jail if you do more than 50?
Paul, the policeman's got his gun out.
I didn't notice you, madam. It's all right. Go ahead.
Go ahead? Well, don't you want to see my license or anything?
No, go ahead.
Now that you've stopped me, officer, the least you can do is give me a ticket.
No jokes. Get going.
Yes, sir.
Now, just what was the meaning of that, I wonder?
Yeah, I was all worked up to get a ticket, and what happens? Nothing. Oh, well, anything to pep up the evening.
What a strange thing to have happen. There he goes.
Oh, there's another.
And another. Are they having a race or something?
That's the sort of comment that gets wives cut up and put in trunks, darling.
I suppose so. Oh, well, anyway, I'm glad we didn't get a ticket.
Me too.
Poor darling, you sound exhausted. Never mind, we'll be home in 15 minutes.
Wonderful to be home. Gosh, I'm tired.
Paul.
Hmm? What is it?
Do you smell cigarette smoke?
I'm so tired, I wouldn't smell a forest fire on the lawn.
I'm serious.
I don't smell a thing.
And all the shades down.
Hmm?
We didn't put the shades down when we went out.
That's funny.
Paul, whose hat is that on the table? And I do smell cigarette smoke. Paul, there's somebody.
Listen.
In the bedroom. There's somebody in the bedroom.
No yelling, lady. Just stand quiet and behave.
What? A little boy with a gun.
Don't be smart, Pop. Just be quiet and everything will be all right.
Oh, what is this?
Will you keep quiet, lady?
Those policemen on the road. They were after you.
Supposing we all sit down. No, no, no. Right there, lady. That's it. You too, Pop.
There's... Who's in the bedroom?
It's Frankie.
Is he hurt?
Yeah, he's hurt all right. You will be, too, if you make any noise.
Now, look, son, supposing we dispense with the gun. Now, we're not going to do anything.
Shut up.
It sounds as though he...
He's shot. Now, keep quiet.
But he sounds as though he...
Let him alone, that's all. If he's going to die, he'll die. If he's going to be all right, he'll be all right. Everybody dies sooner or later.
They'll find you.
Sooner or later, guys out there, isn't it? Nothing to do but sit on those bikes and rush around looking for me.
Sooner or later, they'll find you.
Paul, he's only a child.
It ain't gonna do you any good when they do, Pop. It ain't gonna do anybody here any good when they find me. We killed a guy tonight, me and Frankie. I'm scared. Maybe you can't tell it, but I'm scared to death. If they catch us, we won't have a chance. Not a chance. I'll fry. So I'm scared. I'm freezing to death inside. I'm so scared.
Oh, how does somebody so young...
Save it, lady, save it. If they trace me here, you'll know just how I feel. You'll know good just how I feel. Never mind him. There's nothing we can do. What's your name, Pop?
Paul Westlake.
What do you do?
I teach.
Well, teach what?
Philosophy?
What's that?
Sometimes I wish I knew.
Look, I'm asking you a question. Now, quit fooling around.
Well, I guess you'd say philosophy is the science of the truths underlying all knowledge and being.
You being funny?
No.
I don't like you, Pop. You sit there, both of you, like you were king and queen. How'd you get so important? How'd you get so safe and smug? I'm scared, and in there, he's dying. How do people like you get so safe and stuck up?
Joey, they'll catch you. You haven't a chance.
Haven't I? That's what you think.
Will you put the gun down, please?
Yes, please put the gun down.
You're getting ready to talk religion, aren't you, lady? I can see that holy look coming into your face. Well, I'll show you how it feels to be scared before I'm through with you. I'll show you fine, important people just how it feels. Gosh. All that fuss for a couple of guys like me and Frankie.
How old are you, Joe? 23.
23.
You're only 23 and you've got every cop in town after you. He's a nice looking kid. Blonde, clean. There were no signs on him saying, "Look at me, I'm a killer." He looked like a million other young American kids. I lectured to hundreds like him every day. For years and years I'd been talking to boys like Joe. And yet, Joe was different. He was frightened and confused. We sat there, Jane and I, watching him. After the first shock of finding him in the house, I wasn't afraid. I was sick. He'd walk up and down, look out the window. Then he'd walk up and down, look out the window again. A tense, nervous, frightened child. There was nothing I could do except sit there and watch him.
Perhaps I could make some tea or something.
Lady, will you stop trying to be motherly?
I only thought that...
Well, don't. Some tea would do us all good.
Teacher, a typical teacher. Gee, but I sure hate teachers.
Why?
Because they talk. They talk all the time and they never say anything.
Well, we try to say something. Maybe if you'd listened, you wouldn't be in a spot like this.
I think some tea would do us all good.
Just sit tight, lady. Sit tight.
Go and make the tea, Jane.
Are you kidding, Pop? You want me to...
What are you going to do? Shoot her because she makes us some tea?
All right, make the tea. But you stay here, Professor. If you try to pull anything, lady, I'll take care of Pop here like it was a housefly. Go on, make the tea.
I won't be a moment, but it'll do us all good.
Why don't you sit down, Joe?
Because I like standing up. Why don't they stop that? Why don't they lay off?
They'll never lay off until they get you. Never.
Shut up! Shut up! Stuff the pillows in your mouth, but shut up!
Is he hurt badly?
In the stomach.
Look, son, won't you let me get a doctor for him?
He'll be all right. Though he makes a lot of noise, he can stand it. Frankie's tough.
Tough?
That's what I said.
Are you tough?
Will you stop talking like this?
What did you do tonight?
Held up Cranston's.
A jewelry store?
We ran into the night watchman and got loused up.
And you killed him?
I couldn't help it. Tried to break out of town fast, but a prowl car picked us up and tailed us. We lost him, but there were too many others. And every road blocked off. We had to get out of the car and run for it. We climbed a few fences and finally got here.
I see.
Don't worry, mister. As soon as things cool off, we'll beat it and everything will be fine. We just had to hide somewhere. Your house was it.
You're tired.
Well, of course I'm tired, you dope. You think only important people get tired?
The tea'll do you good.
All the tea in the world isn't going to do any of us any good.
Well, here we are. I've got some bread and butter, too, in case you're hungry. Paul, would you move the cigarette box off the table?
Yes,
keep still, Pop. Don't move.
Well, I can't put the tray down.
I'll move it. There.
Shall I, Paul?
Suit yourself. This isn't the Waldorf.
All right. Cream or lemon, Joseph?
What do you think this is, a pie?
Why don't you be civil? I was asking you how you like your tea.
Shut up.
Now, look here. I've had a bottle.
All right, dear. Cream, Joseph?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll give that one to Pop.
Do you think I'm trying to poison you?
Give it to Pop and stop being so gabby.
Here you are, Paul.
Thank you, dear.
Here's yours.
Put some sugar in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here.
Isn't this cozy?
You'll feel better now.
If the cops could see this. Scooting all over the countryside looking for me and Frankie, and we're having tea.
Oh, I forgot about... Shall I take him some?
Just sit tight, lady.
But maybe he'd feel better.
Good Lord, can't you stop talking, lady? Can't you just keep your trap shut and drink it?
Joy. Where's your home?
Haven't any.
Well, your father and mother, where are they?
What are you trying to do, Pop? Start reforming me?
How did you get started out like this?
Joy, I can't stand it.
Oh, Paul, look at him. He's bleeding.
Go back and lie down, Frankie.
Can't you get a doctor or something? It's killing me.
Let me help.
Lady, will you please shut up?
Will you stop telling me to shut up? Here, Frank. Lie down on the couch.
Yeah.
There, easy. Just lie down flat.
Oh,
that's it.
I can't stand it.
Put your head down. That's it. Paul, we've got to do something for him.
Leave him alone. He'll be all right. We'll get out of here in another 15 minutes.
Paul, get me some ice and some towels. Empty the ice trays into a big towel.
Now, listen here, lady.
Will you get this straight, young man? We don't hate you. We're not afraid of you. Whether you like it or not, we're going to help your friend.
Is he going to phone? Where's the phone?
He's not going to phone. The phone's in the hall. You can see it from here.
You just don't pay any attention to me. When I tell you to do things, you don't pay any attention.
He looks very pale.
Joey, I can't stand it. I don't want to die, Joey. Oh, please, Joey. Get a doctor.
You'll be all right, Frankie. Just as soon as it quiets down outside, we'll beat it. You'll be all right.
He won't be all right until he gets a doctor.
Here you are, dear. I put all the ice cubes in this towel.
Oh, now, if we could just get his trousers off.
No.
But he's bleeding. He's bleeding a lot.
Leave him alone. Put the ice on him, but nobody's getting undressed around here.
Frankie, this is ice. I'm just going to put it over your stomach. Now, don't be afraid. There. That'll soothe it a little. Does it hurt very bad?
Yes.
Lady, you think he's putting this on?
I think he's hurt badly. I think he's fainted.
Hey, Frankie.
Frankie. Come on, come on, come on. You're not hurt that bad.
Don't shake him. Paul, this boy's dying.
He's not dying.
I can feel him dying. We've got to get a doctor.
No, I think you should let us get a doctor.
Frankie, snap out of it.
He has fainted. He's unconscious.
Well, I...
You've got to let us call a doctor.
Well, is there a doctor anywhere near us?
Dr. Lewis, down the street, about 10 houses down.
All right, call him, but be careful. Where's the phone?
Out there in the hall.
I'll go with you.
Well, come on.
Put the gun down first. Look, Professor, I've had enough of you. I know you're trying in your own way, but I killed one guy tonight, and I'm just about ready to kill another. Now, let's go out into the hall and phone the doctor and cut out the fooling around. Well, what's keeping the doctor? You phoned him 15 minutes ago, and you said he lived just down the street.
It's late. He was in bed. He'd have to dress.
He's still moving. It's a good sign. Once they stop moving and concentrate on this block, then the trouble starts, don't it?
Paul, what does he mean?
Haven't you figured it out yet, lady?
Figured what out?
We're not going to make it.
I don't understand.
I told you you wouldn't get away.
And you're glad, ain't you? We never did anything to you. Why are you so glad?
I'm not glad. I'm sorry. You'll never know how sorry I am.
Yeah? I'll bet.
Oh, Joey.
Lady, can't you shut him up? Can't you make him keep quiet? Put the towel in his mouth.
He's in pain, and I won't put a towel in his mouth.
What's the doctor doing? There's going to be trouble. I know there's going to be trouble. What's that?
The doorbell. Probably Dr. Lewis.
Look out the window. Don't touch the blind. Just peek out through the bottom. Is it him?
Yes, it's him.
Is he alone?
Yes.
Okay, let him in. And you're covered, Pop. Every inch of the way you're covered, so don't try anything funny.
Come in, Dr. Lewis.
Oh, what is it? What's the trouble?
There's been an accident. This boy here has been shot.
Shot?
They held up Cranston's jewelry store. This boy was hurt.
Held up Cranston's?
Want to argue about it, Doc?
No.
You're going to do as you're told?
Paul,
are you?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Take a look at him. What took you so long? You tell the cops you were coming here.
And why should
Did
I?
Did you?
I don't report to the police every time I get a sick call in the middle of the night.
All right, go ahead. Get started on him.
Here, Doc. Here. My stomach.
He's bleeding badly.
What are you telling me? I don't need a doctor to tell me that. I can see he's bleeding.
Paul, he should be moved to a hospital right away.
You talk to me, see? Not the professor. I'm the professor here, and this ain't no schoolroom. I decide who goes to hospitals and who doesn't.
There's very little I can do for him here.
Do what you can and do it quick, see?
I'm warning you, young man, that this
You're
man...
warning me. Look, I've killed one guy tonight. You can only fry once. Now shut your mouth and get started, or... The next time I'll plug you. Now get started.
Paul, will you move that light over here? I'm afraid there's not much I can do, but I'll try.
There was nothing to do but sit and watch. Minute by minute, I was learning the meaning of the word futility. I had a brain, I had arms and legs, I was capable of thought and movement, capable of lecturing to thousands of students. Yet I could not hold off for an instant the tragedy and the mess that was moving towards us all. It had begun long ago in the mind of a boy who could have taken two roads. One road would never have brought him into my life like this, would never have led him into murder, pain, and fear. Why had he taken the hard road? Why had Joey and Frankie taken the hard, impossible, trembling road of fear and murder? Well, it's too late now to try to stop anything. Now there was nothing to do but sit and watch and pray.
Well, what's that?
You finished, Doc?
Yes.
See, lady, I told you didn't need a hospital. He's going to be all right now, huh, Doc?
He's all right now, yes.
I don't like the way you say that.
He's dead.
Dr. Lewis.
Shh, quiet, honey.
Dead?
Yes, dead. He died just a moment ago.
Frankie.
I hope you're satisfied.
What are you looking at me for? I... Say, hey, people want to get shot. You want to get plugged? You better say, pay some attention to what I say. Well, you better. Well, don't just stand there looking at me. I didn't kill him.
If you'd called me sooner, or if we could have taken him to a hospital, it might have been different. Well, what do you want me to do now?
Hey, they're stopping.
Can I go now?
Shut up.
Can't you say anything besides shut up?
Take it easy, Dr. Lewis. He's excited.
They're moving in. How'd they know I'm here, Doc? You took them, didn't you? Didn't you?
I did nothing of the sort.
Then how do they know?
Maybe they knew somebody was hurt. Maybe they put a man in all the doctors. The phone company. Maybe they knew somebody was hurt and sooner or later a doctor would be called.
Stand up, Doc.
What?
Stand up, I said.
Joe, please. Please don't do any more. Please don't add this to all the things you've already done. Please.
Stand up, Doc. That's it. You're not worth coming over for, so move closer. Doesn't hurt as much when you're close.
Oh, you fool. You stupid, clumsy, idiotic little fool.
To kill him? Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I kill all of you? They're waiting outside this house to kill me.
Well, are you going to kill me or not?
I'm a cool type, huh?
Blood or death doesn't bother me anymore. I saw quite a lot of it once.
Turn around.
Joe, don't do any more. Well, maybe they'll be fair. Maybe they'll give you a break.
No!
That'll hold the duck for a while.
You maniac! You!
You want one too, lady?
Jane, please keep quiet.
That's Helena, Professor. Hey, the lights, quick.
What?
The lights. Turn them off, quick.
All right.
Don't move either of you. Don't move. I'm warning you. This is it. They're going to start shooting now, and I just don't care who I kill. I just don't care. I don't care about anything, and
why
I...
Why don't you give yourself up? They'll be good to you. You'll get a fair trial.
Don't make me laugh, Lee. Nobody's ever given me a fair anything. You hit before you get hit. That's life.
We know you're in there, Burley. Come out.
Sit still. Don't move. I got two people in here with me, copper. They come in, I shoot them. Give me a fair start. Nothing happens to them.
Son, they'll never bargain with you. Never.
You don't feel safe and important now, do you, Professor? You're scared, ain't you? That's what I like. Important guys scared.
You think for one moment they'll make a deal with you?
I don't like you, Professor.
Burley! You've got 1 minute! Come out!
You come in, I'll kill him!
You've got 1 minute! 1 minute!
A minute, they'd said. He'd been given a minute. It dragged by like a century. Outside there were footsteps and sirens and shouting and more footsteps. And this boy stood there, shaking. I couldn't see him shaking in the dark, but I could feel it. Jane and I sat with a sick man, a dead man, and an unconscious man. And I could control nothing. All my background, my education, philosophy, nothing. And then the minute was up.
Come on in! Come on in and get me! Listen, Pop, I'm going to shoot the lady here. I'm going to shoot her right now unless you let me out.
Quiet, dear.
Let me out, dear. I'll kill them both. What are they doing? What are they doing?
They're standing there, waiting for you.
You're going to let me out? Well, are you? Well, why don't they say something?
Give up, son. They'll be fair. Please, give up.
They're moving. They're moving. I can hear them. If they get close enough, there are no flashlights in here and try to pick me off. Look, I don't want to hurt you, too. But I got it now. I said I was going to. Now I got it. They'll think I'm yelling. I'm sorry, lady, but I got to do it.
Horrible, noisy nightmare. The windows were shattered and searchlights shot in, and there were flashes of lights from I don't know how many guns. The whole world collapsed into Mardi Gras of horrible noises. For a long time, I didn't remember anymore.
Paul. It's me, Paul. Jane.
Jane. Where am I?
You're all right. In the hospital. Just a scratch. You're all right now.
I remember the noises, and the lights, and Joey.
Joey is dead.
I remember shoving you against the wall.
Take it easy, Paul.
Oh. Hello there, Dr. Lewis.
Hello, Paul. You got a hole in your shoulder, and I got a lump on my head.
Poor Joey.
He was insane. Irrationally, hysterically, brutally insane.
Do you think so? I wonder who was to blame, really. What made him so different, so unhappy? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find out, really find out what the matter was with Joey?
I've just heard Joey Was Different, as written by John Shaw for Attraction 52 on Radio City Playhouse. Paul was played by Louis Van Ruten, Jane was Edith Gresham, Joey was Bill Lipton, and others players included Ernest Graves and Paul Arnold. Music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. The entire production was under the direction of Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, Unguarded Moments, a suspenseful and dramatic love story about adults for adults. We hope you'll join us. That's next week, Unguarded Moments, Attraction 53 on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
Collins speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.